It's good to see you all. Merry Christmas to all of you. Thank you to everybody who put this on today. Maybe we get a quick round of applause for everybody. There's a lot that goes into it, and we're definitely very thankful. I'm Braden. As Nate said, I've been with our church here for over 5 years. I've basically been raised as a man in this church. So I'm going to tell you a little story today. Well, it's not a little story. It is, in my opinion, the greatest love story ever told. And I'm certainly not the right person to tell it. I am a hypocrite. I have no track record or ability to love any way near this story. I can't tell it the way that it's deserved to be told. However, the lack of my qualifications does not change the truth of the message.
Amen.
This story is found in the book of Hosea. It's in the Old Testament. Hosea was a prophet. The job of a prophet was to be the mouthpiece of God to the people. And oftentimes, God would have these crazy stories for them to live. And they didn't just speak for the Lord, they lived whatever metaphor God wanted them to live for in plain view of the people. Hosea is no exception. He had a brutal story. I'm going to pick up. We're just going to skim through it this morning or this evening. Hosea was told to marry a prostitute, and then he was going to have 3 children with her, and they were going to have some of the most depressing names you've ever heard in your life. The children's names are Jezreel, which means God scatters. He scattered his people. The second child, her name was Lo-Ruhama. Forgive my cowboy pronunciation. That means no mercy. And the last child's name was Lo-Ami, which means not my people. And that's the message that God had for Israel. To make things worse, Hosea's wife, do you want to go through the slides here, Jim? The next one. Hosea's wife went back into prostitution. She cheated on him. She left him to go back to the brothel. And he had to live with that. And God uses this as an example of, I'm going to give my people what they want. He says, she will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them, and she will seek them, but will not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my first husband, for it is better for me than now. And after the trauma and hopelessness of pursuing their own path, God will bring Israel back. Chapter 2, verses 14 and 16 say, therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness, and speak kindly to her. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me husband and no longer call me master. And I know there's a lot of new people to maybe what we do here today. I know there's some stigma about church, what it represents. It is not a place of dogma or of rules or of crutches. God has every right to ask us to fear him, and instead he loves us and he desires our love. And then in chapter 3, Hosea's experience continues, and he's actually told by the Lord to go and buy his own wife back from the brothel. And that is a love that I don't think anybody here can possibly understand or can speak from experience. That is a ridiculous, ridiculous ask of one man. And yet, this is a metaphor. This is for us. At the beginning of this chapter, or beginning of this book, I have written Divorce Court, because it's 14 chapters of some of the most emotional and heartbreaking discussions about how Israel has broken their relationship with the Lord and their first love. I don't have time to go through all of it, and frankly, I don't think anybody wants me to today. It's pretty dark. I got a couple verses for you from it. Hosea 6:6 says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And it's not complicated. We make terrible, terrible slaves. If God wanted to be our master, he couldn't have picked a worse group of people to have obey him. We stink at it. And thankfully, he knows what he's dealing with, and he just demands our love. Matthew 22:37-38, this is the words of Jesus. "You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." It comes down to loving God. We can't meet the challenge. We can't meet the bar that is set. And thankfully, instead of leveraging his power on us and forcing us to the whip, God is very gentle, and he doesn't ask you to obey him out of raw fear. He asks you to obey him out of love. The second verse that I have from Hosea, the court part, is Hosea 11:8. This is a really important verse to me. In the midst of this horrible court case, it's as if God is just looking across the aisle of the courthouse. It says, "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled." Those two places there, Admah and Zeboim, those were just cities that God destroyed because they were also very disloyal. But he couldn't do that for his people. And the key to the book of Hosea is that Hosea's wife is representative of Israel. Hosea's wife is also representative of us. This is who God's talking to us. And this was always a tough verse for me. I've always viewed God as a taskmaster. I still continue to try to grow in understanding his love for me. I rewrote this one to make it personal for us tonight. So here's how I wrote it. "How can I give you up, my heart's desire? How can I surrender you, oh my child? How can I make you like the dead or like an enemy? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled." I need you to understand that God loves you. I need you to know that. And it is a Christmas dinner. Unfortunately, that verse always also has the side effect of making me think of that Rick Astley song. "Never Gonna Give You Up." This is a Christmas dinner. We are here to talk about Jesus' birth. The reason why the church celebrates Jesus' birth is because he came to die. That's the long and short of it. It's a true story. There are so many eyewitness accounts. It's not a myth. And Jesus did live a perfect life. He's actually the only one ever who hasn't been disloyal, who hasn't cheated on God. And the irony is that he's the one who died for everybody who did cheat on God and everybody that's betrayed God. So yeah, we celebrate Jesus' birth, but it is because he came to die. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We do have a way. And Jesus is that way. Those who choose to live without God, to reject the one who loves them more than anybody else ever could, you're going to get what you want. You're gonna live with misery and purposelessness and death and eventually hell. But if you choose to be restored to your Lord, the blessings are infinite. Some of them include eternal life, a life of purpose, a joy that the world is just frankly never going to be able to compete with, and a love story like you've never known. Jesus will never leave or forsake you. And there's nobody else who can make that promise. Hosea had to pay for his wife back with 15 pieces of silver. The price of your life was a life. The price of your life was a perfect life. Jesus had to die for you. That's a lot more expensive. It's infinitely more expensive. But this pardon, this free gift, has to be accepted. God is a gentleman, and he will not force you. Like he said, you will call me husband and not master. The offer is very simple, a life for a life. Jesus died for you, and you can choose the life of loyalty to him. There's 12 separate conversations in the Gospels in which Jesus said, follow me. That's the command. This is who I follow. This is who my people here follow. He's bigger and he's better than me in every single way. And what I really deserve is a bully, somebody to just whip me into submission. And instead, he works with me along the way. And he treats me with such love and patience. And he has all the time in the world for me and for you. I used to view Jesus as an insurance contract. I knew from a young age that I was never going to meet the bar. But I loved what I loved. And I betrayed Jesus over and over. And that was fine with me because I knew someday I would go to heaven. Because he did die for that. And then I started to really realize the love that I had betrayed. And I was like, I can never do that again to you, Lord. I can never treat you like that. So, that's why I'm a hypocrite. And that's why I'm a harlot. And I'm a liar. And I'm a betrayer and I'm a cheater. And I got news for you, so are you. And if you actually recognize yourself as you truly are, which is somebody who has broken God's heart over and over and over and over again, and he still goes to bat for you, and he will still go and buy you back, this is what the gospel is for. The gospel, you qualify to be rescued. I promise you, you do. Jesus did not come for the healthy, for those who didn't need him. He came for the sick. And if the words that I've spoken tonight are able to reveal to you how you actually are, if your eyes have been opened, I implore you to get right with God. Be restored to a right relationship with the one who loves you like no one else can. And just see how everything opens up for you. I got one final passage for you. This is the words of Jesus. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He has all the time in the world for you. And he will work with you along the way. He needs permission. He wants your loyalty. He doesn't want your dogma or your rules. You can't do it anyways. You're not good enough. He wants your love. So give him permission to lead you and to work with you and to love you the way that he wants to. I'm going to pray. You're dismissed after this prayer. If you want to take some steps or a step in inviting the Lord to be your Lord, I've got some people at the back who have been well-versed in being loved by God who will happily guide you through that process of inviting him into your life. They will be at the back so that you can be conspicuous. We'll play some music. You are dismissed. You can do whatever you like, but that will be the end of our organized activities. I'm going to pray now, and then we'll socialize or get right with the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great love for me. Thank you for working with me along the way. Thank you for having that door open and for never quitting on me. Thank you for that I'm just one of everybody else, God. I'm not special in that. You're the same way for every single one of us, God. And I pray for this room. I pray for these people, Lord. I pray that they would see you for who you really are. And thank you for your great, great love for us, God. Without it, life would be just as dull as it could ever be, and we'd be utterly miserable. So, Lord, I praise you for who you are. I thank you for who you are. And I pray that you would just continue to be real to us and that you would speak into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.